Father, you are so great. Father, this morning we come to you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we want to thank you, Lord, for your great love, that you sent your only begotten Son to this earth to be crucified, to be resurrected, to be seated at your right hand. So, Lord Jesus, this morning we pledge our allegiance to you as our King. And we thank you that you have delivered us from sin. You have delivered us from ourselves. So we thank you, Lord, for your word this morning. Your own word, Father. That we can speak and that we can teach and we can receive it in our hearts. And it gives us the strength and the power to live this life. We give you all glory in Jesus' name. So I think all of you are aware of Romans 6, Romans 7, and Romans 8. I think probably the three most powerful chapters to teach us how to live in Christ Jesus. And those two words, in Him, in Christ Jesus, are key to our living this life every day. It is impossible to live this life in our own strength. So we have a soul. And in that soul, we've got a will, we've got an intellect, and we've got emotions. And we can try to serve God with soulish power. But this chapter that we're doing, that we're busy with here now, Romans 6, tells us that God does not require us to serve Him with our strength, with our intellect, and with our will. He is provided for us by this word and by the Holy Spirit to serve Him with His strength. We mess up because we make plans. There's a crisis that comes to us, and already we have six plans. How are we going to solve that crisis? We don't go and sit at the feet of Jesus and become quiet and wait for an answer and wait for direction. That is why we mess up. We make plans and then we ask God to bless those plans. Somebody the other day spoke to Danya. Danya, if I can use you as an example. And said, I don't agree with you that you listen to the Lord and then you act on what He says without using your mind. I am not against the mind. God has given us a beautiful mind. But our mind is subjected to the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Our will is subjected to the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Our emotions, beautiful emotions. I don't want to speak against our emotions, but our emotions is also subjected to the Holy Spirit. What happened in the Garden of Eden? God created man. So man is man and woman. That's the way God created them. That Greek word that is used there means man and woman. So God created man, and the way God created him is the way he is. We sang about it this morning. God is a triune God. He is Father, He is Son, and Holy Spirit. But He's not three gods. He's one God. He's got three personalities. He acts as the Father, He acts as the Son, and He acts as the Holy Spirit. So when He made us, and when He made Adam and Eve, they were spirit, soul, and body. Because God is three-dimensional. He made us three-dimensional. And when Adam fell, when Adam was disobedient, there was only one law in the garden. God says, eat of everything except this one tree. Adam disobeyed that. Adam and Eve disobeyed that. And because they disobeyed it, they become reliant on their emotions, their will, and their intellect. So this order changed where they were spirit, soul, body. Now they were body, soul, spirit. The spirit was underneath. There wasn't fellowship with God anymore. God didn't come and dwell with them anymore. What God did, he took them out of the garden and he put an angel at the gate of the garden so that they could not enter there and eat of the tree of life and live forever. So let's get to this chapter. I just want to go to Romans 5, the last two verses of Romans 5. It gives us the context of Romans 6 verse 1. So my topic this morning is the life Jesus lives, he lives for God. Those words you will find in Romans 6, I think it's 11, verse 10 or verse 11. So when it says the life Jesus lives, he lives for God, it is an example for us to live exactly the same way. The life we live for God. Let me just get to Romans 5. I think it's verse 22. It's the last two verses, verse 20. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. So that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let's just quickly handle this word sin. So sin is the Greek word amartia, and when we get to Romans 6 verse 1, it's going to refer to the sin and refer to the grace. So when we get to that word sin in Romans 6 verse 1, it shows back to this verse that we've just read, where sin is reigning as a king. So sin is personified here. It's given a person, and that person we'll see in Romans 6 verse 6 is our old man. You heard about our old man? It's only mentioned three times in the New Testament. I want to read to us just, I want to get that out of the way, then we can come back to Romans 6. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17. I'm sure a lot of you can quote that verse where the old has passed away and all have become new. Just trying to page with one hand, yeah. Okay, 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, you see those two words, in Christ. We're going to stop at those two words this morning a bit. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. That is, the old man has passed away. The Adamic nature, that's the old man, has passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Do you see that it's past tense? It's not happening at the moment. It has happened. And we'll see it just now, where he says in Romans 6 verse 6 that the old man is crucified, has been crucified with Christ. So sin, we said, is personified in this old man. So sin here is not acts of sin, offenses. It is personified in the old man. So if you think about a sandwich, you think about sin on the outside, the old man in the middle, and then this body on the other outside. So sin, the old man, and this body. Sin is an influencer. It influences the old man, and the body is a slave to the old man. So what we are dealing with in this chapter is that Christ came and he changed this, where sin was driven by the evil one, by Satan, and we were slaves of sin. Jesus has made it possible for us now to be slaves of righteousness. So now, with our spirit man coming alive, we are not influenced by the sin anymore. That old man is now dead. You see this? The old man that was between sin and this body we have every day, And I'm not going to say that this body is bad. It calls it here the body of sin. But because in the context of the old man, it's subjected to the old man. But Christ is teaching us here by the Holy Spirit that the old man was crucified. When Christ was crucified and we believed in Jesus, there's no time in eternity. So immediately we were crucified in Christ. You guys get that? Okay, let's start reading. Romans 6 verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? It's exactly two verses back. He's referring to that. Can we keep on sinning? Because there's lots of grace available. There's super grace that's available. So can we keep on sinning? And now Paul answers for the next couple of verses up to about verse 14. He answers this question. He says, certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? So we were crucified with Christ. Let me quickly read verse 6 and we'll hold up to that. Verse 6 says, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. So he's talking about the power of sin. When our old man was crucified with Christ, the power of sin was broken over this body. So why are we struggling with sin? He's going to give us an answer. But let's follow this train of thought. So he says in verse 2, certainly not. How shall we who die to sin live any longer in it? So he's saying to you, if you are still sinning, it is not normal. That's what he's saying here. He says it's abnormal for you to still sin because you have died with Christ. Your old man have died with Christ. But we know that there is sins. There is offenses. But the root of sin, the old man have been dealt with. That influence of the old man on this body has died with Christ. This is so important for our day-to-day living to get this. It's very simple. It's not complicated. If you don't understand, please, I'll keep on repeating it, but it's not complicated. Therefore, we were buried, verse 3. Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into death, into Christ Jesus, for us, do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? So those two words, in him, the moment we believed in Jesus, Romans 10 verse 9 and 10 says that if you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be saved. That moment your old man is dealt with, it becomes a new man, and we start living in a newness of life. So we were baptized into Christ Jesus. It doesn't so much talk about the baptism of water, but that also applies. When we are baptized in water, you can't live underwater. And that is the symbol here. Is that as you are baptized into Christ and you go under the water and you come up, it's a symbol of the crucifixion, it's a symbol of the burial, it's a symbol of the resurrection of Jesus. But the main thing here is that we are baptized into Christ, and more than that, into his body. We are his body. We had a physical body on earth. Now we are his church body. He says in Ephesians, he is the head of the body. So all of us here is part of his body. Verse 4. Therefore, we were buried. Is it still there? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death. Maybe it's better than I read that translation. I've got the NKJV here. That's the ESV. We were buried therefore with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. So remember, Jesus never sinned. Jesus was obedient until the cross. It was love for his Father that drove him to be obedient. It was love for the people, even his enemies, that drove him to the cross. And he said, I think it's in Philippians, he went to the cross in joy because he saw us coming. So when he says here, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, that glory of the Father that was in Jesus, that love, that joy, that peace, that couldn't stay in the grave. It had to come out of the grave. So the glory of the Father that went into Jesus by the Holy Spirit lifted him up from the grave. And he was resurrected and seated at God's right hand. He says this same glory is what caused us now to walk in newness of life. Now we go back to Romans 1 verse 17, where he says that the just shall live by faith. And this is a key principle in this chapter. Why do we struggle with sin? It's because of faith. And we'll get to that just now. Just remember that word faith. We'll see how do we apply this faith. Remember we said the old man has been crucified. But what we miss sometimes is we don't apply that by faith. Just as we live by faith, knowing that we were saved, that we believe in Jesus, and we confess it with our mouth, the same faith applies to living and living free from sin. I don't want to run ahead. Let's just follow this trend. Okay. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. You realize that faith starts playing a role here. We need to believe that we were dead in, as we were dead in Christ, we are alive in him. We know that our old self was crucified with him, that's verse 6, in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. So he's saying there that this body is now jobless, hasn't got a job anymore. Its job was to work for the old man. Now the old man is dead, so this body has got no job anymore. So if this body is still sinning, it is not normal. It is abnormal. That is what he keeps on repeating in this chapter. And we'll see the reason that he's giving for that. Where am I now? The body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. So that makes sense. I mean, if I die now and I lie in the grave, sin has got no hold on me. Because this body also isn't functioning anymore. It's in the grave. We know that our soul and our spirit goes to God, but our body stays here in the grave. So sin hasn't got any hold. And the same applies to this principle that the old man, because the old man died with Christ, was crucified with Christ, it cannot influence this body anymore. Okay, the next verse. Verse 9. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. So the topic is that Christ lives, and the life he lives for God. That applies to us. You can put your name in there. Marius lives, and the life he lives for God. The question is how, and that is that next part there. So you also must consider yourself, that's where faith comes in. As you used faith to become saved, the same faith you use to consider yourself dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. So, a simple example is when you get up in the morning and you start the day, you set your mind. Remember Romans 12 verse 1 and 2? It says, set your mind on Christ. Here it says, set your mind that you are dead to sin. You have been crucified with Christ. You are alive to God. And that's the way you live that day, and the next day, and the next day. Because we don't use faith in this area by the Holy Spirit, the old man thinks he can come alive again. And the old man thinks he can start using the members of this body again. My hands, my feet, my eyes, my ears, my mouth. The old man thinks he can use it again, but the old man is dead. So in faith, we are saying to the old man, you are dead, you are crucified with Christ. There's a new man within me. It's the nature of God that is within me, and this new man, he uses these members now. I don't think we're going to get to it, but let's just carry on. We know that Christ, where are we now? Okay, verse 12. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. You see, that instruction is for us. It's not for Satan and it's not for God. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body. How? By faith. I'm crucified with Christ. I'm alive to God. To make you obey its passions. Do not present your members to sin. Members is of your body. Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under the law, but under grace. So all of this is because God blessed us with his righteousness. What happened was in Eden, with Adam and Eve, they moved from God's righteousness to self-righteousness. That's not the way God wants us to live. He says the just shall live by faith, but the way we live is not with our strength, not our soulish power. We receive his righteousness, his grace. And then by faith, we reckon ourselves dead to sin and alive to God. And that is the way the just shall live by faith. You guys understand that? It's not complicated. So do you see the order of authority from the spirit to the soul to the body was restored by the cross? That which was broken in the Garden of Eden is now restored by the cross. But there is a part we need to play. We need to reckon ourselves dead to sin and alive to God. Then these members will follow that new nature. If we don't do that in faith, this body will try and follow the old nature, which is actually dead, but it will try and follow, and that is abnormal. It's not normal. That is my story. Let me pray for us. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, that your word is so simple yet so powerful. Your word is the food that we need every day to live by. Thank you, Lord, for that cry of Martin Luther in 1515, that the just shall live by faith. And we are still crying that, Lord, that the just shall live by faith. You cause us to live by faith. You declare us just by your grace. And we give you all glory, Father, in Jesus' name.